Aubrey, I've got a question for you. I've experienced many feelings and thoughts in my life, and sometimes it seems like a voice is speaking. But, I mean, how do you know? Or, I mean, some of these thoughts seem random sometimes. Sometimes they seem very clear. Does God use that to speak to me sometimes?
Yes. Well, in John 14:26,
"But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you."
Well, it says in that verse that he will bring all to your remembrance what he has taught.
Okay. But a while ago, I started thinking of a job I wanted to start, and it seemed clear. I prayed about it, and I just really felt like this was God's will. And then I finally went to Dad and I said, "Hey, this employer's hiring, and I think this is a good thing." And we talked about it a little bit, and he just said no. I felt so sure that this was God's will, but couldn't have God made it clear?
Well, it was probably his will that he wanted you to ask for the job, but it wasn't his will that you were supposed to get the job.
Okay, but why couldn't he made that clear beforehand instead of having to, all that disappointment I felt?
Because he was trying to probably teach you something.
Oh. Maybe I should have, maybe he wants me to have a different job or something. Okay, makes sense. Well, with all the chaos in the world, I've been thinking a lot. There's a need for young men like me to join the military, and I feel like I should pursue that, maybe eventually join. And I've prayed about it. Seems like that's pretty clear to me, and I want to pursue that.
But the Bible says that we're supposed to love our enemies in Matthew 5:44.
Yeah, so Jack, I don't know, do you remember the verse in Matthew 5:44? That would be Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. I think that would be a very fitting verse for this. It says, "But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, and do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you." And I just don't see how a person could serve in the army and be in line with that verse. I think it would be a very clear contradiction of that.
Oh, so God, okay, so if my, these ideas and thoughts don't align with the Bible, I probably made them up then.
Probably.
Okay. So I've been talking to Dad about the near future here, maybe going on a mission, and it's been kind of stressful. Like, I talk to him about it, he says one thing, I pray about it. Sometimes it feels like this is just a clear answer, like I should go. Other times it's like things get in the way, and I don't know. So does God just make things confusing for me, or what would?
You might just want to surrender your will to his will, and then just wait for his answer.
Oh, okay. I think I need to get on my knees and surrender my will, because Dad thinks it's a good idea, but I know it's been kind of hard to think that way. So I need to surrender my will and just wait on his leading.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so God's aunt, he did maybe give me an answer, just wait.
"Given to you, seek and ye shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you. For every one that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened."
God promises that he will reveal his will to the sincere seeker, but that revealing comes in many different ways. Occasionally, God chooses to use dramatic events like dreams, visions, and powerful, sweeping impressions, but many times, his spirit speaks softly. It's important to remember that God never calls us to do things that differ from his written word. The basic elements of God's will are given to us in his word. Yet for the finer issues and decisions in our lives, issues that aren't directly spoken about in the Bible, we've been given a handful of helpful hints. First of all, for choosing the model, of vehicle to purchase, picking dress fabric, or planning a menu, God's given us a brain, and he expects us to use it. We can make a balanced choice and move on. But for bigger issues that have eternal or far-reaching effects, we must be more cautious. Our heart must be in a place of surrender, of laying aside our desire to control a situation, to seek God's will. Only then can we begin to clearly discern anything. God's also given us people that care about us. We can ask them for advice, ask them to join us in prayer, and maybe fasting. When Daniel needed enlightenment on the meaning of Nebuchadnezzar's dream, he gathered three friends and talked with them and asked them to pray. We can do the same. There may be times where we feel called to serve somewhere or feel clear about making a decision, only to realize that our authorities understand God's will for us very differently. This can be confusing. Who's right? It's appropriate to respectfully discuss the issue with them and let them know why we feel differently. Yet if our parents or church authorities still don't feel as we do, then God's will for us is to accept that. Stepping out without authority support can end very badly, as some of us have seen before. When we first begin to follow God, we may struggle to discern his will, but the longer we walk with him, the closer we become to him, the better we can discern his voice. God often gives us peace about a decision we've made if it is in line with his will. Peace can bring clarity, as in Polly's case. Here's a true story with names changed. Polly was 20 when she met him, and it all began. Jed was likable, and she liked him, and thought maybe he liked her too. Polly was excited and confused. She wondered if her feelings for Jed were an indication of God's guidance, or if they were just that, her unstable, untrustworthy feelings. Her parents had concerns about Jed's character, and to make life more complicated, as she watched Jed discreetly, she was sure he'd ask. Could she say yes? Polly begged God for clarity if the request should come, and then he asked. But the answer was clear. She had to say no. There was no streak of writing across the sky, no blinding light flashing, but there was a strong, freeing peace, and it was enough. But sometimes our hearts are anything but peaceful when we're in the middle of surrendering to God's will. Jesus wept and sweated and bled in Gethsemane as he faced his coming death. How do we know how much to rely on our feelings? There comes a time to simply lay aside our confusion and feelings and move forward. Just maybe peace will follow. And remember, God is merciful and very aware of our vulnerability to make mistakes in understanding his will. Because of that, we can commit our life and the effects of any decision made the best we could to him. He will not let us blindly wander from his leading, but will patiently be a father to us, engulfing our hand in his and pointing us, guiding us into his wonderful will.
First John 4:1 says, "Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone into the world." The Bible is the inspired word of God. 2 Timothy 3:16 says, "All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness." We must compare every revelation from the Spirit or new doctrine with God's word. It is a serious thing to add to or change scripture. As it says in Revelation 22:18, "For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book. If any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book." Brother Virgil Heise said it well Monday night, that we need to regularly read God's word and pray for God's leading in our life to be able to hear the Spirit clearly. If we are not communing with God and keeping our relationship open with him, our spiritual ears will be dulled to hearing that still small voice. The authorities in our lives play a big part as well in testing the spirits. In the multitude of counselors, there is safety. I can tend to rapidly move into a decision because I'm sure that is the right way to go. But it is important to slow down, pray about it, and ask people you trust to help you make a wise decision. Sometimes a decision is not necessarily right or wrong. For example, choosing a leader for your church. We ask the Spirit to guide us in that decision, but in the end, whoever we decide on, I believe God honors that choice. Jesus told Peter in Matthew 16:19, in the context of Christ's church, "And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." So the church was given great authority by Jesus to make the decisions that may not be necessarily right or wrong in the best interest of the church. If someone has this wonderful new revelation from the Holy Spirit, look at the fruit in their lives. It is estimated that there are 10,000 cults in the United States. That's a lot of people being deceived. A local cult leader in Indiana, where I live, had a revelation from the Spirit that he should divorce his wife and marry a single lady in his church. So he did that. He is a very spiritual person. He talks to my dad a lot about the wonders of God in his life and all the great Spirit-filled things he does, but the fruits of righteousness are clearly lacking in his life. Often these people that have this revelation from the Spirit have a selfish, ulterior motive. Cult leaders are usually looking to get something that benefits them in some way, whether it be money, fame, attention, something like that. Lastly, I feel God speaks in very practical ways. The Bible is a practical book. If we apply its teachings, we can see that it works. If it doesn't work, it's usually because we're not doing something right. The Spirit is not some fuzzy, mysterious code that if we're walking too loudly, we won't be able to hear it. The Spirit speaks to us through coworkers, friends, unsafe people, and if we're watching for the Spirit's presence with sincerity, I believe God will make it clear to us.
Well, I assume most of us, if not all of us, as Christians, we have had, we've felt at one point or another that we have an impression or a feeling, and we wondered, what is this? Is this God? Is this us? And so our group here had some fun discussing this, and we really enjoyed it. We explored some different aspects on it, and hopefully got a well-rounded view. One thing that seems pretty necessary in finding God's will and what he says is having a humble heart and an open heart, because if we don't have that, we won't be able to see what God has for us, or we won't be willing to listen to what God really says. John 5:39 says, "Search the scriptures, for in them ye know that ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me." The Bible is probably the most reliable source to use, and I definitely recommend to use it. There are so many answers in the scriptures if we're willing to search and find them. Psalms 1:2 says, "His delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night." And we can do that too. Also, talk to your authorities. It is seldom good to move ahead with something if your authorities are not okay with it, or feel unclear about it. Proverbs 8:33 says, "Hear instruction and be wise, and refuse it not." And there are many more verses similar to that. That's just one. There are lots of good reasons to listen to our authorities. The Bible talks about it a lot, and often they're the ones that know you the best, and they can tell at least somewhat what's really going on underneath, and whether it's your idea or God's. And plus, verbalizing your thoughts can help bring clarity to the situation in your own mind. And most likely, those that are listening to you, they have different thoughts that you didn't think about and different aspects and different views. And most of all, we must spend time with God and learn to know God so that we can know His heart. Because if you have a friend, you learn to know them, and learn to know what they like and what they expect and those things. So if you learn to know God in that way, you will also be able to determine what to do next.
Sometimes when making a decision, it seems that we cannot clearly tell which way is best and feel that giving it time is the best option. In those times, we must be willing to wait and give it all to God. Time waiting is well spent in fasting and prayer, allowing God to work in our hearts while we wait. We must lay down our will and want God's will more than anything else. If we do not surrender our feelings about the situation, we will struggle to hear and believe God's voice if His answer is no. Proverbs 3:5-6, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths." Acknowledging Him in all our ways, as this verse says, implies that ways means the little things. And when it says He shall direct thy paths, that can mean our larger decisions. So in other words, talk to God about the little things and discern His will in those situations, because then you will be able to discern His will more clearly in the larger things. In some situations, we don't feel a clear yes or no is given. The choice ahead may not be necessarily a right or wrong choice either. God at those times may be asking us simply to move ahead where we can and take a step of faith. For instance, a person may be asked to serve on the mission field but may not feel a yes or a no from God. In this scenario, because there isn't exactly an element of right or wrong involved, he or she may need to, in faith, step out and go, allowing his faith to be stretched and strengthened through it. At times, we follow what we believe to be the will of God, but it only leads us to a hopeless dead end or a closed door. At these crucial moments in our lives, we must recognize that God has a perfect plan and purpose, and may be using this experience to prepare us for what we will walk through in the future. A few verses that we feel support our answer. 1 Corinthians 2:9-11. "But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God." 1 John 4:1-3, "Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God. Because many false prophets are gone out into the world, hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is it in the world." Trust that God knows every detail of your situation. Trust that He cares for you more than you can imagine, and trust that He is always working in your very best interest, even when you cannot see it.
To discern whether a feeling we have is just our feelings, or if it's God's will, is go to the Bible. God's Word speaks into many areas of our lives, and we can find a verse for almost any aspect of our lives if we search. 2 Timothy 3, verse 16 says, "All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction in righteousness." And there's when we, so we have a feeling, you know, we're trying to decide if we should do this or not. We can go in the Bible. Often we will find an answer in the Bible. If not, another good way is to speak to older Christians, mature Christians that are someone, don't go to someone that you know they're going to say yes, or you know you're going to, they're going to say no, if you want to have hear a no. Speak to someone that you aren't sure what they're going to say. That an unbiased, find some, yeah, someone that, sorry, someone that you can't, you know, pick what you want to hear. Number three, our will must not be involved. We can't, if we're trying to discern God's will and we really want to do this, we're probably not going to find a very accurate answer because we're going to be looking where we want, where we know we'll hear yes, and we will not be hearing a no unless it's very, very clear. Also, another way is to look at others' lives. We can look history, other older people, that's, we can learn from their mistakes, see what they have done. Did it work? Why did it work? Why did it not work if it didn't? One, another way, if we can't, we still haven't found an answer, stop, give it time, fast and pray about it. And if we aren't sure, maybe, or it maybe seems like yes, maybe we need to just take a step of faith and start stepping, like at the Jordan River with Israelites. As soon as the priest's feet touched the water, the Jordan River parted. And God can move when we start stepping, and he will show us the next steps. And the last point is, if we start something, if we take a step of faith and it doesn't work, it doesn't necessarily guarantee that it wasn't God's will, because God might put us in difficult situations just to show us that he can use difficult situations to make us grow stronger.
So we decided to do the optional question. If I had to choose one verse that best summarizes Jesus' message, what would it be, and why did we choose this verse? After discussing various angles of Jesus' teaching, we decided his main message was repentance, self-denial, and following Jesus. So the verse we picked is Luke 9:23. "And he said to them all, 'If any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me.'"
All right, this is what we came up with, our answer to the first question. How do we know if the impression or voice is the Holy Spirit speaking to us? When trying to discern the voice of the Holy Spirit, our first test is the Bible. We evaluate the idea in light of Scripture. If our urging is clearly good and godly, we don't need to be seeking a clear sign or otherwise. On the other hand, we should reject a voice that is clearly contrary to Scripture. If our impression does not contradict Scripture and we're still unsure about it, another step would be to ask advice from your authorities and local church brothers and sisters. Being plugged into your local brotherhood is a safeguard against following wrong voices. Welcome the input in their lives. No, in their life. There's safety in submission. Another highly important safeguard against being deceived is to keep a clear conscience, making Jesus the most important in our life, and doing what we know is right will keep us in a good place to hear the voice of the Spirit.
Looking at the optional question, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Our reason for choosing this short but full verse comes from the three words way, truth, and life. These three concepts encapsulate Jesus' message to the world. He came to teach us the way back to God. He came to teach the truth of where we are without God, and he came to teach us about life. First of all, rebirth, becoming born again, and then finally, eternal life. The other aspect of his message portrayed in this verse is the truth that we cannot come to God except by accepting Jesus. We feel that this verse describes the mission and message that Jesus came to present with a very simple but full explanation.
How do we discern the difference between the voice of God and the rumblings of our stomachs? We have 2 points, our group. The first one is God's Spirit will agree with Scripture. We have a verse here, John 14:26.
But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. John 14:26.
Thank you. And we had a few things we talked about under this point. One of them was that our will needs to be surrendered. If we want to hear from God and we have an agenda, we're looking for a stamp of approval on something we would like, God's going to have trouble speaking to us. We need to get ourselves out of the way first and get to the place that Jesus got to in the Garden of Gethsemane when he said, not my will, but thine be done. Another one is the outcome will feed the spirit, not the flesh. So we can look at the outcome. Where does this decision lead? Point number 2 is God's Spirit will agree with our godly authorities. Hebrews 13:17.
Obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls as they that must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you.
Thank you, brother. So that verse indicates that our Christian authorities aren't just trying to ruin our fun. They have to watch for our souls. And it's good to keep that in mind, even when sometimes what they ask goes against our will. Some other things we talked about under this point was that we shouldn't be looking for signs. Yes, God does use signs, but if we're looking for signs, what we see is that oftentimes somebody that's looking for a sign will interpret something that wasn't meant to be a sign as a sign. Another thing is that we need to be following God in daily life. Just walking with God in his presence in daily life, living for him. If we're walking with God in the little things, then we will be able to walk with him through the bigger things. Amen.
If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally. James 1:5. Yes, God does speak to us through an inner voice. If we are truly open to God's leading, he will show us the way. Some ways to distinguish if it is God speaking to you would be, 1, pray. 2, check the Bible. If it goes against the written word of God, clearly it isn't God that you're hearing. 3, check your motives. Make sure you aren't trying to make God say what you want him to. We need to be surrendered to God's will. For example, when Balak sent for Balaam to curse God's people, Balaam knew what God wanted, but he didn't want to hear it. 4, ask for input from your authorities and other wise people. They know more than we do. 5, give it time. If it is God, he will keep telling you the same thing. 6, remember other people. Usually our decisions have an effect on those around us. In the end, if you made the right decision, God will give you peace about it. Romans 12:2, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God.
So how do we tell the difference between discerning the will of God and our inner feelings? Quite a few of our points have been already discussed, but I guess I'll just redo them anyways. First one is, make sure your feelings align with the Word of God. make sure that the word of God is either encouraging it or discouraging it, and follow either of those. And John 16:13 goes along with that.
Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come.
Also, most of us kind of look around and see other people, the decisions they've made, and where they are today. And it's a very good idea to do that so we can see what decisions lead where, and to determine where we'll end up if we make certain decisions. So I think Caleb has a story or an example to go with this.
I don't know how many of you noticed the thing in there, God told me to take off my covering, and you probably thought, you know, I would never, never do that. Maybe you never heard of anyone who even did that. So we just thought, our family actually knows of an example of someone who did that, so I just thought I would share that. So yesterday I called up my dad and just asked for some of the details for how that went, a person can go from being a plain person to actually believing that the Holy Spirit told them to take their covering off. You know, that's just pretty extreme. But it started out that she just kind of doubted and questioned and, you know, mumbled and grumbled and didn't really want to wear this thing. And this is just, you know, unfortunate. And we go and we meet people, and she would go to, you know, when she was with other Mennonites, she would, you know, like question this a little bit. You know, is it really literal? You know, are you sure this thing just isn't a symbol? And on this went for a certain amount of time until finally one day it was just all of a sudden, voila, and the Spirit said, you know, you can take that thing off. And so she did, and she goes around, you know, to other people, and why'd you, you know, take your covering off? Well, the Spirit spoke to me, you know, audibly. She believed, she heard it clearly, that the Holy Spirit said, you know, you can take this thing off. And so that's what she did. And that's just what we're talking about here. As our second point, that looking at examples of people around you, we've been hearing about that from Brother Andy on the flow. You're either against the flow going upstream or you're going downstream. And it doesn't even take the IQ of an avocado to see when you start out here and you end up down here. When you take your covering off, I'm sure all of you can guess where that person is today. So that should be sobering to us.
Next point is, go to one of your parents, go to your pastor, go to someone you trust, and ask advice from them, and ask them to help you discern between your feelings and the Spirit's leading. The importance of that discernment is emphasized in 1 John 4, 1-3.
Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God. Because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Howbeit, hereby how ye know the Spirit of God, every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God, and every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is it in the world.
Next point is, don't follow the spirit that leads away from denying the flesh. Denying the flesh is kind of like, I don't know, like a guide rail that can guide you. If you look, this is more towards the flesh, and this is denying my flesh. And 1 John 2, 15-17 emphasizes that.
Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever.
And I'd like to end just by saying that the closer your walk is with God, the easier this will be to determine. Thank you.
Wicked, who can know it? We have two principles today that can help us determine the truth of our heart's promptings. Does it agree with the Bible and bring glory to God? Proverbs 7, 1-3. my son, keep my words and lay up my commandments with thee. Keep my commandments and live. And my law as the apple of thine eye. Bind them upon thy fingers, write them upon the tables of thine heart. Proverbs 7, 1 through 3.
Also 1 Corinthians 10:31. Whether therefore ye eat or drink or whatsoever ye do it all to the glory of God. If our heart is filled with God and his word, our inner voice and promptings will be prone to align with God's will. Number two are our authorities in agreement. Proverbs 24, 6. For by wise counsel thou shalt make thy war, and in multitude of the counselors there is safety. Also Isaiah 30, 20 and 21. Yet shall not thy teachers be removed into a corner any more, but then eyes shall see thy teachers, and then ears shall hear heard a word behind thee, saying, this is the way, walk ye in it, and when ye turn to the right hand, and when ye turn to the left. Be willing to be guided by those in authority or those strong in the faith. Beware of false prophets, and be sure you are listening to sound counsel. On occasions, your authorities may not be in agreement, and this may be the Lord's way of saying, wait.
We talked about the optional question, came up with to agreement on this verse, Matthew 22:37. Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the answer Jesus gave to a lawyer who asked him what the greatest commandment in the law was. Master, which is the great commandment in the law? We chose this verse because of the following verse. Because the following verse says, this is the first and great commandment.
Sometimes we are not sure if this idea in our brain is our own or whether the Lord is trying to speak to us. So we all know that the Lord still does speak to people through his Spirit. Each one of us has experienced that, especially with when the Lord was calling us to give our heart to him. Everybody experiences that. But where we as humans sort of run into a wall is that we're just uncertain. We aren't sure whether this is my idea or this is the Lord's. So just a few basic principles that we have. First of all, does this line up with the Bible? Very simple. Sometimes we have to think a little bit, study some, ponder, and see whether this is something biblical. Other times it's more obvious. Second thing, it never hurts to wait a little bit. If we get too rash, then oftentimes things can go downhill fairly fast. And in the meantime, don't just stand around and wait a little bit. Pray and fast. We all know that praying is a very important part of the Christian life. And like we heard the other night, it is the spiritual water. And fasting is also another important thing. It is something that I do not enjoy doing, but it has never hurt me permanently to fast. And there is a verse in the Bible that says, no pain for the present time seems to be joyous, but later on it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness. Third, we should talk to other people. They can often see things that we sort of miss, things that we just don't see in the heat of the moment. Oftentimes, older people always have more experience than us. They can tell us things that will help us. And last of all, if you move in the direction you think you should go and things just keep falling through, don't despair. You aren't unsaved because things aren't working out. Don't think you failed God or he failed you. Lots of missionaries that have gone overseas or devoted a large amount of their life to mission work Oftentimes they will say how maybe for years they have wanted to be a missionary, go serve somewhere else, but things just didn't work out. Either they weren't sure where to go, they weren't sure if they should go, and sometimes their church wasn't ready to support them. Sometimes their church leaders thought they shouldn't go. But oftentimes, after quite a rat chase, oftentimes they do end up going overseas. And I suppose that the Lord can use those times to make your heart ready for such an endeavor. If you are in such a trial right now, you aren't sure what to do, where to go, what the Lord is trying to tell you, I have a verse that could be a little bit of encouragement. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful.
Okay, so for the last question, both John and Jesus came preaching about the kingdom of heaven, and that needs to be within us. So we thought we found the perfect verse. Matthew 5:48. Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father in heaven, which is in heaven, is perfect.
After consideration, we think that God does speak through the inner voice. We think we should consider impressions, but don't make our decisions on them. In other words, we shouldn't totally disregard impressions, but ask God about them before acting. What does the inner voice feel like? We should really pray a lot about what we're facing and ask God for wisdom and discretion. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. We can't go by our feelings only. We should totally surrender what we are facing to God. We should not make rash decisions. Try sleeping on it for a bit and wait for a while. We thought that coming to a total surrender is a key. When we are totally surrendered to what God wants, he shows us what to do and can give us peace and clarity. Another thing is to go with what the Bible says. For example, if what we think we're feeling we should do does not agree with the Bible, then what we're feeling is probably not from God. We should seek truth and not just go by how we feel. We can also talk to our authorities, like our parents, ministry, etc. And we have a verse to read.
Proverbs 2:1-6. My son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding, yea, if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as for hid treasures, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord giveth wisdom, out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding.
And I have one more verse to read. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and cultivate faithfulness. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in him, and he will do it. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him.
So for the second question, we came up with the verse, Matthew 4:17. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And the reason we chose it is because Jesus came to introduce a brand new kingdom, a kingdom that brought heaven down to earth. His message of love, sacrifice, forgiveness, and servanthood spoke of a whole new way of thinking. By dying on the cross, he made a way for us to be part of his kingdom.